Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With a rookie quarterback leading the way, the local football operation has a bright future. It's time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm, Condori & Morad, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you, you'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. I'm looking at all the updated lines for week 4 here at Tom's Watch Bar, the Penn Play Odds at the Hollywood Sportsbook Casino, where we're broadcasting live in the tri-state area out by Cincinnati in Lawrenceburg. The Commanders have gone from 4.5-point dogs in Arizona to 3.5 points since last night game kicked off. You surprised a 1-point line movement is all we got after they hung almost 40 in a win?
You'd think it would have gone further, not necessarily because that's how it's going to go, but because the country saw it, right? Everybody stopped and watched this team put up 38 points and they haven't punted in a month, basically, numbers approximate, right? So you'd go, I'd expect a slightly bigger swing there because the whole world is probably thinking, oh my God, look how great Washington is, right? And you would say maybe that would influence the line more.
I think it's a lock. That game kicks off closer to even money. I think it'll be a 3-point game. I don't see it getting more than 2.5, but maybe it ends up being, you know, Commanders plus 3, something like that. The Beltway Blitz every day on G&D, the teams in town you care the most about right here on The Fan. We're going to go football heavy today, so let's get after it right now. Spin us around the NFL. We got our guy Nate Davis, USA Today, with us. Nate, why don't we get a local take from you first on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders? A star born, it feels like, last night, the coming out party for Daniels. He was fun in week 1, ran it a lot. He was excellent in the second half of week 2, and then last night was a generational, kind of incredible performance. What'd you think?
Generational, Grant. I mean, it was.
You want some numbers? I can back that up. We haven't seen anything like it statistically.
I mean, he had the 91%. I mean, that's a great record. And I mean, he's off to, you know, a very nice start. I think he's kind of been exactly what they needed. He's completely outplayed his peers in this quarterback class. You know, the first one where we've ever seen 6 guys come off the board and 12 picks. So I don't think you could ask for a much better start. You know, I would warn people that, you know, this feels a little like 12 years ago. So let's not put too much of a burden on him right away. But you know, I think this kid is living up to the bona fides. And plus the fact that, you know, unlike 12 years ago, I think he's a great athlete, but I also think he comes out as a polished passer, and that's something that he's going to be able to fall back on, maybe when the legs lose some juice down the line. So, but yeah, I've talked to you guys about it before. I mean, I think this franchise is in a really good place, and I think he's the number one reason for that, in terms of this maybe finally turning around after that dark quarter century.
Nate, what about their opponent, Cincinnati? I mean, they've gotten off to slow starts in years past, but everyone kind of thought, I certainly thought, okay, this looks like their get-right week, and, you know, they'll be towards the top of that division. They're now 0-3, and fans are pissed off. I know because we were there in the stadium last night, and people were pretty dejected and disgusted. Where are they right now?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, I think during Joe Burrow's tenure, they've been a collective 1-9 in weeks 1 and 2. But, you know, 0-3 is a different deal. I think 6 teams with 0-3 starts since the 1970 merger have made the playoffs. So they've got a big hill to climb. But, yeah, I think there are some issues there, too. I mean, you know, Cincinnati the NFL is a, you know, everybody shares in the pie to some degree, but Cincinnati is a smaller market team, too. You know, they paid Joe Burrow. They haven't paid Jamar Chase. It's obviously there are bad feelings there. You know, I think the Joe Mixon jettisoning him is certainly having an effect. We saw the Trent Brown injury last night. I think this thing has the potential to go off the rails a little bit. You know, we heard the trash talk. You know, I think Zach Taylor's trying to get a hold of that thing. I think there's still time, given that the Ravens and the Browns are not in great shape yet either, and we'll kind of see what the Steelers are once they start facing some better competition. But there's no doubt that they're in trouble there.
Nate, how about the NFC East? Maybe based on your preseason expectations, has anything changed? Have you seen anything that's all that different than what you assumed coming in, or is it still too early after 3 weeks?
I don't want to pound my chest, Grant, but I mean, at this point, it's kind of what I expected. I thought the Eagles would be the number one team there. I thought the Cowboys would not be as good. I thought they would be a diminished product. I thought the Commanders had a chance to challenge the Cowboys to be the second place team, and I thought the Giants would bring up the rear. I will say that the Giants are starting to look a little bit better than I thought, and I think Malik Nabers is really showing that, you know, he might be your front runner for Rookie of the Year. He might be one. Jaden Daniels is 1A at this point, however you want to slot that, but he's showing that he can do some things and maybe carry an offense, and that defense is also maybe a little bit better than expected. So maybe the division overall is a little better than I thought, but mostly all these teams are kind of doing what I thought when I was sizing them up, you know, in the offseason.
How for real is Minnesota?
Yeah, they may be the biggest surprise in the league. I had them third today in my week four power rankings. I mean, two blowout wins and then beating what we all know is a very good 49ers team. The question is can Sam Darnold kind of sustain this? I mean, you're seven for him. Reminder, he's still younger than Joe Burrow, but it looks like he's finally found the coach, Kevin O'Connell, that can harness his ability. Good players up there, a defense that can apply pressure relentlessly. That can be a double-edged sword at times, but I'm not sure yet. I'm ready yet to say that they can sustain it for a full year, given Darnold's propensity to get careless with the ball sometimes. But I mean, they for my money probably are the early season surprise.
How about the other really surprising 3-0 team in the conference, the Seahawks? A little bit of a lighter schedule for them en route to 3-0, but still, Mike McDonald, a first year head coach coming over from Baltimore, has done a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for more than 3-0. I mean, the wins are Broncos, you know, overtime in New England, and then the two of the Dolphins. So, I feel like we're going to get a better litmus test on them when they play at Detroit, I think next Monday night. So I'll have a better feeling with them at that point. I mean, I kind of felt like they didn't really have the parts to run Mike McDonald's defense the way he really wants to. I know they want to be a running team, and they've shown they can be to some degree, but I feel like they're really built to pass the ball. I just need to see them play against sparse competition before I'm ready to really believe in the Seahawks.
Nate, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nate.
See you, my friend. Hit that local 53 sounder. Our guy, PFF's Nick Ackridge, showing us to break down what we saw last night. Nick, we were there, and I still kind of can't believe it. What the hell happened? How is this offense this good?
Yeah, that was a near flawless performance from an offense. It was tough to believe, something that we're definitely not accustomed to. But I kind of touched on it in the past that, you know, there were shots that were open for this offense that they just hadn't hit on yet, that it was coming. And yeah, it definitely did in a big way.
So much of last night was Daniels being excellent, obviously, but they were ahead of script, you know, on script and ahead of schedule, I should say. No penalties, no turnovers, like nothing negative, nothing less than ideal. Hard to replicate that, clearly. But what can you take out of that is sustainable about last evening, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the run game, and I think it's what Cliff has kind of started to develop with the team. And, you know, he gets a lot of crap for the screens. You know, I'm one of them. The screens are – it's not a fun watch, but, you know, it is an extension of your run game, and it sets you up in positive situation, and it puts you in spots that you can be successful. And so I think that run game, that sort of short yardage stuff that they keep doing, is something that, you know, that can prove to success. And I think – you know, we saw a flip of the script of what happened with the Giants. You know, every time they got down to the red zone, something awful happened with a penalty. This time, like you said, it they probably can't replicate this flawless of a performance, but it is kind of really good to see that run game really, really start to work.
So I've long beaten the drum here for Austin Ekeler. I think they need to give him the ball more. Their first drive, they gave it to him a bunch. You saw the touchdown run later on. And then the opening kickoff, the second half. He's such a weapon. He obviously went out of the game concussed, didn't make the trip with them to Arizona just yet. If he has to miss some time, that to me is a bigger loss, I think, than maybe people are realizing. Go into his role and what you've seen from their usage of him.
Yeah, I think he's just an explosive back. I think – you know, thoughts that he was, you know, sort of washed up and a little bit old was kind of wrong. I mean, I think he was dealing with a lot of injuries last year, which kind of led to some of his struggles. But you can see it every time he touches the ball. I mean, 2 weeks in a row now, he's almost taking a kick return to the house. Well, one, he did, but got called back for a penalty. And he's just an explosive, explosive guy. And it's just a weapon that, you know, we've talked forever about the lack of weapons on this offense. But he's one right there that you can get the ball pretty easily to him. So I kind of agree. I think it could be a pretty big loss.
A lot of conversation over the last week, really 2 weeks, about Terry McLaurin. This show and many others about kind of where he's at in the big picture. 4 for $1 and 1 touchdown last night at the 55-yard catch, and then at the game-sealing unbelievable touchdown from Daniels when Jaden and he called game last night. What'd you make of Terry McLaurin's performance?
I think this was similar to what we've seen in terms of him getting open in the first 2 weeks. You know, I touched on it a bit earlier that, you know, he was getting open downfield. We saw it in the Bucs game, you know, the missed shot downfield that Jaden missed. And there were multiple opportunities in the Giants game as well to get him the ball. You know, same with Luke McCaffrey. Those two seem to consistently be getting open. And I think you just saw a flawless performance from Jaden Daniels in the offense, and it all finally clicked. And I think it's just, you know, it's just going to keep going for Terry.
All right, Nick, we've talked a lot about the offense and Jaden Daniels, and we should. Here's a little bit of a thunderstorm gathering around the parade. If the Bengals make a very makeable field goal and they don't not convert on 2 extra points, they went for 2 twice, didn't get it, then they have 38 points, just like Washington did. This defense, it's still this defense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still pretty rough. I think one sign of encouragement is I do think that they really try to switch things up. They kind of saw the first 2 weeks that things weren't working. They played a lot of single high cover 3 stuff these first 2 weeks, and it was not working at all. They switched it. They played a lot of cover 2, a lot of cover 2 man, and that really, really worked. And every time they switched to single high man coverage, Burrow kind of ate them up. So I think you see the script going forward for this sort of team is that you're going to need to just keep things underneath you. You can't really trust these guys to play man coverage on the outside. They tried to switch Sanders still. He played out wide the entire game for the first time all year. And he actually played pretty well outside of that one, the touchdown early on. He was pretty solid. Igbinoghene kind of struggled in the slot. They just basically switched their roles. So I think you just kind of see that you don't have the guys to play man coverage the way you want. You don't have the guys to play the single high that you want. So I think you really just kind of have to stick with this cover 2 stuff, keep them underneath, and just don't give up the big plays.
Nick, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
See you. Check out Nick Akridge, PFF. We're Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Washington has now scored on every drive in the last 2 games, excluding kneel downs. The first team to do that in consecutive weeks since 2000, 24 years ago. They are operating on autopilot. Jaden Daniels, a big reason why. Let's get into him last night. Let's take out a shovel and really dig deep on Jaden Daniels. We can open up the phones again. 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067. What impressed you most about Jaden Daniels in the coming out party he threw for himself on Monday Night Football?
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
10 guys on the field. Third down and 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, cover 0 and, you know, just give Terry a chance to go make a play. Hey, he said, if you trust me, and that's what we did. I trusted him.
One of the great developments from the Commanders' stunning Monday night performance against the Bengals last night was Jaden Daniels learning that trusting McLaurin's the right decision? First couple of weeks, if he didn't see him wide open, he wasn't throwing it to him, and he really wasn't taking those chances. But this will lead last night to more of those, where if he's even, he's leaving. If you got him even with a DB, take the shot. If he is got a step on someone, it's going to be contested, but it's, let's say, a 55-45 ball. Let's see what happens. Rip it in there. That's NFL open. And hopefully last night's success begets more of those chances, because the downfield ability of Daniels is one of the reasons he was drafted number two overall, and it was just not really a part of this offense in the first couple of weeks, and boy, did that change last night.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see teams defend you to say, we know what you have liked to do. You know, we know what your proclivities are. Through a couple of weeks, it was not throw the ball down the field. The one shot they took, they didn't hit, which it's hard to hit those shots, by the way. So they said, yeah, we know it's a sideways passing. It's the horizontal raid. It's a lot of running stuff. Well, we're going to dare you to sit there in the pocket. That's why, frankly, I thought Cincinnati would win the game yesterday. I thought that's hard to do when you haven't done it at this level just yet. Apparently, it's very easy to do. What do I know? Right? You just go 90-plus percent completions and torch people on Monday Night Football. But you pass that test, now everything else is open to you, right? There's no can't in this offense. There's no can't now for Daniels. He's hit every kind of throw you can imagine.
What was the most impressive element of Jaden Daniels' incredible outing last night? That's the question. We're going to open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines right now. We want to hear from you guys at 800-636-1067. Statistically, a once-in-a-decade kind of outing. You just don't see it. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, the last time a quarterback completed 90% of passes, scored two touchdowns through the air and one on the ground, it was Marcus Mariota early in his career. And I'm sure the next day in Tennessee on the radio, they were talking about how unbelievable the performance was and how they had found their guy for a long, long time. So one game, a couple of weeks, a month, we know this from 2012. It doesn't necessarily give you the entire answer key. Where I'm so excited about Daniels, though, is I don't think there are many players in the league right now at that position. And frankly, even if you extrapolate the combo out over like a decade, I don't think there are more than a handful of quarterbacks that could have played that game last night. Now, that doesn't mean that Jaden Daniels is routinely going to play that game either. Last night was a product of him at the peak of his powers. He was nearly perfect. He was feeling it. He was locked in. It was also the perfect night from Kingsbury. The perfect night for this offense, right? It was a night where there's no penalties. It was a night where you're never behind the chains. It was a night where nothing negative basically ever happened. That is almost unheard of, let alone being on the road in a loud environment. So for all those reasons, and him being special, collectively they were off the charts good. But that said, Danny, he still showed it to you. He still showed I can not only be the fastest guy on the field and deliver the back-breaking scramble and move the chains and scream at the coaches to stay on the field on third and fourth and short, but I could drop that 55-yard throw into the bucket. I can make that throw with the lowest percent chance of being complete via next-gen stats to McLaurin to end the game in the corner of the end zone while I'm being destroyed by an oncoming free rusher. That was a 10% chance to be completed that has the lowest percent chance of being completed of any throw in football. I could do all those things and also run the 4.39 40 or whatever it is.
To me, it was the poise. And I know, listen, you played in the SEC. You played in front of 110,000 rabid fans, both for you and against you on given nights. But there's something different about doing it at the highest level we got. And you've seen those guys before that say the right things, that post on Instagram the right things about where they're working out and, you know, at the podium say the thing about leadership or whatever. But it's another when you see that frantic fourth down play. When the guy looks overwhelmed, he can't get the signal in, he's panicked, somebody's not lined up right, so there's more panic. This is a calm, cool as a cucumber guy that's older than his years. Right, the experience is still only three professional games, obviously, but that's not what it looks like. If you just dropped, if someone was in a coma for 10 years, you dropped them into last night's game, said, "Watch this. What's the deal with this guy?" You'd go, "Yeah, it looks like he's been around for a while. He's unflappable." Those third downs, those fourth downs, when the place was going insane, despite all the negatives that had happened, those Bengal fans were going nuts. Guys couldn't hear their own thoughts coming out of their own head, and still, it was just calm as could be. It was just easy. No problem. I know it's fourth and two. Let me drop back, pat the ball, scan the field. flick a dime to Luke McCaffrey for a big first down conversion there. The throw to, you mentioned to McLaurin for the touchdown, where he knows what's about to happen. Before I even finish falling through, this dude is going to put that weapon, a.k.a. helmet, into my upper chest and to my chin. Might knock me horizontal. Doesn't matter. Step in, make the throw, and it was perfect. The poise under immense pressure, that's the thing that gives me confidence.
Yeah, he had a couple of those moments that Peters and Quinn talked about when they drafted him. They referenced as, like, he's the kind of guy that'll rip the defense's heart out. And what they meant when they said that was, you know, on third and nine, he'll deliver that back-breaking 16-yard scramble or whatever, right? Like, that's what they were alluding to. And that didn't necessarily happen very often or at all last night. But how many times, I'm thinking about this sequence on the Bengals radio broadcast that I heard today, where on a couple of those second-half drives, Danny, they would go, you know, like a song ramping up. You know, first down and 10, they get a 3. Second down and 7, they get 3 more. Third down and 4, and the stadium has gone from and now it's so loud, and everyone's going crazy, and it's bedlam, and it's raucous again, and you get this one stop, and now finally get the ball back, and you get a chance, and they pick it up. And then again, first down, second down and 7, and you get it again. And so many of those all night long where he just takes your will, little by little. We saw it with the people sitting around us.
Yeah.
The dude right behind us, at one point he's like, the Redskins are doing this, you're letting them do this.
He's a rookie quarterback.
Right. He just kept saying, like, a rookie for the Redskins? And finally he's just like, I'm tired of it. Let's go, Joe, let's go. And he and the guy behind us finally left. But like, there's only so many of those you get before you just feel like it's not our night. And it culminated with the throw to McLaurin for the touchdown on the third down. But I think poise is a good answer, because there were a couple of those where he stood in the pocket forever. By the way, I thought pass protection last night was mostly phenomenal. Like on those downs, he had all day to stand there and scan and scan and scan and wait for Ertz, who's not exactly fast, to come free. So I thought that was big, too. The thing that impressed me most, I'll answer the question, on Jaden Daniels, though, last night, was I thought his decision-making was impeccable. Through two games, he did some good things. He did some exciting things. He made a couple of nice plays through the air. He did a lot of good things with his feet. And there was this rush, I felt like, to just crown him as, like, awesome. He played pretty well. He had done some fine things. I was impressed. It was like, oh, this guy. Look. Last night, it didn't have to be that good, but kind of is what I was wanting to see. I don't mean 21 of 23 in this perfection and the performance he had, but he did not just leave pockets to run. He reset to throw. He did it on the Noah Brown 16-yard catch to get down to the one-yard line. He eluded the rush. He reset in space. He stood there and waited, and he found a guy. There's a play, if you go back and look on, might have been a 3rd and 3. I don't think it was a 4th down. I think it was a 3rd down, where he broke the pocket and ran to the sideline, and Darius and I are like, run, 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 and he stops and throws to Terry McLaurin. He gets 4. He gets blown up. He moves the chains, 1st down. You watch back after the fact, and there's a guy coming that's either going to kill him at the sideline and lay him out. He may get the 1st down if he makes a miss, but it's bang, bang. By stopping and throwing to McLaurin, who took a shot, I'd rather him take the shot, by the way, it was an easy 1st down. The amount of correct decisions, run or pass, stand in the pocket and wait, process, find the right guy, it just seemed like he had the answer key given to him before he took the test last night. It was like right. It was a take-home test, and he got to use his book. And it was just a joy to watch. It was so fun to see last night a special player who was completely locked in and looked like he was completely comfortable. He was back on the field in Baton Rouge last night, you know, taking on Florida or something. It was that kind of night.
Just, you know, everything from the improvisational, the backyard stuff to, you know, the stuff that was there, looks in the offense, right? And again, some part of this is that Cincinnati's defense isn't very good, but I don't care about that today. You know, it's like when somebody throws an excellent complete game two hitter, they're like, well, yeah, well, it's the Marlins. Still hard to do, man. You know, like a lot of offenses that are less, probably more heralded than Washington's won't do what Washington's did last night to that Bengals defense. You know what I mean? Like, teams have been stopped by them.
And you can also still take things out of it. Like,
right.
Daniels was amazing, by the way. I'm watching in the sports book here. So they've had highlights, and they actually replayed the whole Commanders game a few minutes ago. It just ended. But now that Dan Orlovsky.
They did win, by the way.
They won the game still?
Yeah.
Good. Did they score almost 40?
They did. Well,
okay.
What you'll notice is they scored every time they had the ball.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Tressway still hasn't punted?
No punting.
Wow. A holder, Tressway, to you.
The holder.
So Dan Orlovsky went over a bunch of plays with Daniels, I saw, and now he's going over Caleb Williams. I bring this up to tell you, like, it is a dependent position to an extent. There were a lot of open guys last night. Like, all night long, I would say, right? I mean, they were wide open. Most, there weren't really contested catches. He has not thrown a pick. Did he put a ball in harm's way at any point last night? I don't remember a single ball that was contested. Now, we're talking about dropping a couple down the field into buckets where Terry's got a guy behind him. But they really didn't throw to the middle of the field much at all. Hasn't been a big part of the offense. Didn't have to. It's kind of like LSU, honestly, where the big stuff was out wide, outside the numbers. But I'm just trying to think top of my head, like, I don't remember a single pass he put in harm's way that there was never really anything with a defender in the area.
So there are a couple that come to mind, GP, but not exactly like you're talking about. So, for example, the low catch that Noah Brown made, which was a terrific play. If he throws that up higher or, you know, leads Noah Brown, there's a defender lurking there. He couldn't put it behind him. So it was a small window throw, but he threw it was either going to be incomplete or my guy makes a really nice play on it. The incompletion towards Terry McLaurin in the corner of the end zone. Again, not exactly what you're talking about, but that's this is not going to be intercepted. It's either miraculous catch by Terry McLaurin or out of bounds, right? And so you're seeing there's a demeanor to it. I know part of the reason there's no interceptions is we're not throwing that many high-risk passes by design.
But just to finish the point real quick, I guess what I'm getting at is Cliff Kingsbury was excellent. And I brought up the Bears and Orlovsky because Caleb Williams' situation right now is dreadful. And I'm not sitting here trying to make an excuse for him. He hasn't played as well. Jaden Daniels running circles around him, literally and figuratively. But Shane Waldron, comparative to Cliff Kingsbury, the coordinator for the Bears, has been a disaster. They don't have receivers open. They have better receivers. They don't have pass protection. They're not ahead of the chains. They are committing penalties. And it's night and day when you look at the situations. You know what I mean? If you dropped, say, Jaden Daniels into the Chicago situation, maybe he makes more plays because he can run around, but the passing wouldn't be there. Like, last night was Jaden Daniels on top of his game in a historical performance we're going to remember for years, but I do think that a decent quarterback still puts up really good numbers. They don't throw that last touchdown to Terry. They might miss on the first 55-yarder.
They get sacked a couple times.
But like all the Ertz stuff in the middle of the field, the Luke McCaffrey throws, the Noah Brown throws, those are easy, wide-open throws. And I just think in addition to the fact that Daniels was staggeringly good, like shockingly, oh, my God, I have to reassess everything now, good. Cliff Kingsbury last night and the entire offense were nearly perfect.
I think it's a good point. Yeah, I mean, and some people will take it as a slight or diminishing of what Daniels did.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope people don't.
Grown-ups are talking, so
right.
They're going to have to just, you know, worry about that another time, I guess.
The point to me was this was one of those, you know, because what is this really? It's a live chess match.
Yeah.
Right? It's really smart people figuring tendencies out and where they can exploit weaknesses. Defensive guys get paid an awful lot. Lou Anarumo's been doing this for a while. He's been the Pat Mahomes kryptonite in the postseason, right? The only people to really beat them are Tom Brady when the rules were stupid with overtime and Cincinnati with this. So figuring out, there was an answer every time. I mean, you look no further than the Austin Ekeler rushing touchdown where 75% of the Bengals are looking in a completely different direction. The one guys that are looking in the right spot are flat-footed, and Eckler's already off to the races for a touchdown. That's a scheme thing. Now, Eckler's got the burst and ability to go get you a tutty right there, but that's an offensive coordinator win right there in that kind of play.
So Danny's going with poise as his answer. I'm going to say I thought Jaden Daniels' decision-making last night was absolutely marvelous. A masterpiece. I don't know how you replicate it. I don't think you can do better. And it's not linear, and that shouldn't be the expectation that he's just going to, and that's going to be normal. But that was a breathtaking performance last night. Just unbelievable. What impressed you most about Daniels? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
I've got to be there for him and encourage him.
Yeah, he's always been impressive to talk to. Here's Eckler. He's been impressive tonight to the end zone for the touchdown, Commanders. He was a touchdown machine with the Chargers. And Dan Quinn's Commanders take their first lead of the night.
The Grant and Danny road trip for the 2024 season continues. How about the game we picked to hit the road for?
Not bad.
In Cincinnati for the Goaty last night. That's your game of the year. That is a keeper. Hard to top that one, I think. Good luck to everybody who will be heading to road games the rest of this season, including this coming week in Arizona with the Cardinals. By the way, the boys flew out early, which I would have to tip my cap to ownership on. That's one of those things where you're spending a lot of extra money.
Yep.
You're getting the hotel for a few more days. You're renting out a facility to use, which I believe they're practicing over at one of the colleges in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
You're going to shell out some cash, but if the sleep doctors and the team psychologists and all the people say this is your best bullet here, don't go back right now, have a couple days and then fly. Let's just get out there, rest up for a couple days and start practicing
on
Wednesday. Well, Josh Harris said, no problem. Where do I sign the check?
Yeah, I like that sort of thing. Now, whether it's the right decision or not, I have no idea. It's so above my pay grade. There's been theories on everything. Like, I remember once...
You certainly won't decide if it was the right decision or not at 7:05 on Sunday, will you?
Well, no.
I'm joking.
I know you're bit, and I appreciate that. Like, whatever they chose is wrong, probably. Just doing a Milton.
No, I'm having a little fun.
We're just funny.
Who's done it?
Who's done it?
Who's done it?
Who's my...
This is the show. I'm not moving on. Who's done it?
This is the whole thing. What was my train of thought? What was I saying?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean,
something about being in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing?
I'm old enough to remember when what you're supposed to do if you're going to deal with altitude was you move there like 7 months in advance and your body chemistry and your blood thins and you get used to the altitude. Then it's like, no. You get in there 7 minutes before you actually play football to Denver, then you leave as soon as possible so that it doesn't have an effect on you. Nobody knows what the right answer is. But here's what I like. Ownership goes, yes. Right? Is it about football? Is it about being good at football? Is this what we think the best practice is? Then yes. Let's fix the stupid field at the dumb practice facility that's been unusable for decades. Let's take do the smart travel thing. You just do it. You just do the thing because the whole point of this is supposed to be about the football team.
Speaking of altitude, we're flying home tonight.
Hello there.
We will be at about 30,000 feet a couple hours from right now. We are taking off from the airport over in Kentucky, so we'll make our way out of Indiana in just a bit, where we had a great lunch today. Shout out to Tommy and the watch bar we're at with him here at the Hollywood Casino. Did my delicious buffalo wings.
Yep.
Had them yesterday. They were great. I'm not going to navigate away. You know me.
I
did add potato skins today. It was a very healthy lunch for your boy. And then Tom surprised us. In addition to all of our meals, he got us a little Detroit-style pizza just for a side of pizza.
Because Tom knows his guys. He knows that one of the staples of this program, dare I say, of Grant and Danny, is the concept of a side of pizza.
Mm.
And I'm a big believer, and I've shoehorned this, I think, in a lot of people's lives. Anything can be a side if you will it. Right? So you have a main, and something you go, well, that's a main dish. Why? What if you have a portion of it on the side of your main thing, and a side of pizza was born?
Your sandwich looked good today.
It was a strong sandwich. I needed something a little bit lighter, so I went with the turkey club. Of course, that's got bacon on it and tomato. And then you
ate some pizza.
Well, that was, yeah, then I had a side of potato skins also because they're terrific. And then I had a side of pizza, so I kept it lighter
today.
I wanted a lighter lunch, and I got it.
Barbecue sandwich for Darius. I think we did some good things today. And the Tom assist on the pizza.
Food is awesome.
Worked out. I did want to shout out the Bengals, though, really quick. Quickly, we were at the game last night. We had so much fun sitting in the 200s, beautiful seats. Our guys, Kandori and Murad, hooking us with the whole trip. By the way, they've been, like, I tried to, at breakfast today, just pick up breakfast. I'm like, hey, guys, let me get breakfast. Wouldn't let me do it.
Right.
They just, what lovely gentlemen.
Just swatted it away. Just Mutombo in his prime.
Shout out to our guys, and they'll take good care of you. Check them out, kmlawyers.com. But I'm going to use the parlance of the day, if I may. I'm going to sound like a hip 20-year-old or just a nubber trying to be a hip 20-year-old.
Oh, here we go. Buckle up.
There were a couple things played by the DJ at the stadium last night that I thought slapped, okay? The first of them...
I'm a little uncomfortable here.
...was the touchdown song that they play every time the Bengals score. I didn't know it, Tommy had to tell me what it was, but I sent it to Ryan. So every time the Bengals scored last night, which was a lot, by the way. Now, luckily, Washington scored more because they never punt. But this is what they play, and it just – everyone marks out. It's such good vibes in that stadium. What song is this?
Bang! I've always called it Bang on My Drum All Day. I don't know if that's the official title. Yeah.
But they play this, and everyone just rocks out to it. Perfect stadium anthem, don't you think?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what the ramifications are for anthem song, but I love any of the old school, like, whether it's rock or homemade sportsy songs, like Go Cubs Go in a stadium. But, like, Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and the second they cross the goal line, they don't care if there's going to be a review. They don't care if anyone scored or not. Instantly, they just strike this up.
Like, that dude's pointer finger is hovering above the button. Right. And if somebody sniffs that goal line, fire Todd Rundgren.
It was amazing.
You know?
But the gem of it all, so they play that for like a minute. And right when everyone's just jamming, then they fire off their version of Hail to the Redskins, which similarly is like from decades ago, that ends with the Hootay chant for the Bengals. So, Clary, give me that for people to hear. I'm such a sucker for these, like old-timey sports ditties.
It's called the Bengals growl.
The Bengals growl slaps.
Yeah.
Like, now imagine like marching band, live performance, everybody's psyched because T. Higgins just got one to the crib. And then it ends with the Hootay thing. Oh, this part. Cincinnati. Yeah. So is this like another? Here we go. Hootay. Am I overrating it, or is it pretty awesome?
No, it's good. It's now, if, now at the risk of offending those from the Queen City.
Oh no!
See, the Hootay. I don't know what that is exactly.
Who thinks they're going to beat the Bengals?
No, I'm aware.
Which, by the way, the answer is the Commanders handily.
Oh, thank you. And old three teams they played this year. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
The answer is everybody you play.
Yeah, somebody said that last night. Actually, the guy was hammered behind us. Goes Hootay, and like, who's going to beat them? Everybody. All the teams they
well, if you give it 5 days, Andy Dalton in a revenge game against the Panthers.
Red Rifle revenge. But give me who dat. Sorry about it. The Saints down there in New Orleans. Now, because I don't think anyone here says who day as like a normal way of speaking. But down in New Orleans, people say who dat. Who that there going to be damn Saint? Like, that's what they – that's and their song reflects how they speak.
Who that is going to eat this breakfast?
Yeah, like, who that there that about to eat the fixings right there? Like, you mean, like, that's how they're talking to you?
Right.
I want a po' boy. Now, that there is a shrimp po' boy. Now, that there is a lobster po' boy. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's right. Who's
– But are you, is your say. Allegation that nobody at the stadium last night was saying who day in any other context?
Yeah, I don't think it's like, hi, how are you? Like, I'm very well. Who day? Like, they don't sound like that. You know what I mean? Like, they're and again, this is not a complaint. It's very, they're all very nice. But I think that gives me the who dat itch. You follow me? I think who dat greater than symbol who day.
I'm going to give I want to bring in our resident.
Like, I might be speaking out of school here.
I need to bring in our resident Ohioan, Thommy, who's hanging out with us at Thom's Watch Bar.
It's officially a Kentucky.
He's a Kentuckian, thank you.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Tri-state man.
Yeah, it's a tri-state area.
So does anyone
need to
say
keep reminding people that
who day in the like in any other context?
I would say that what Danny just said is exactly how it is. So like game day, we're at the window. You know, 15 people in line. I got a hourly employee that, you know, thanks for coming in. Who day?
Oh, no way. Yeah,
just exactly.
She drops a who day on him?
Exactly how Danny describes
so
it.
So like at Moe's where they say, welcome to Moe's.
Yeah, right.
Your employee goes, hey, what can I do for you? And who day?
Yeah. We do that around here.
Oh, that's so good.
You see what I'm saying? So again, it's all everyone's so but courteous. They're so friendly and so nice.
But it's like perfect English.
Right.
And then it's who day?
Yeah. Have yourself a wonderful day and who day.
But am I wrong or does that song hit a little
song
bit?
Slaps.
I love the songs.
Yeah.
I love the songs. I don't need to do the who day in the Kroger. I don't need to do who day at church, you know, but they do it.
Does the priest like on Sunday, like as everyone's winding out, he's like, and mass has ended, who day?
Yeah. Yeah, mass has ended, go in spirit, who day.
Blessed is he who walks in the name of the Lord, who day.
Oh, God.
Congregation's going, who day?
Who day or who dat? What's it going to be? Bengals Saints. We'll find out, I guess, next time they meet. Although I don't like Cincinnati's chances after last night.
No, sir.
All right, we do got to get to Jaden Daniels. So let's do it next. 800-636-1067. We're going to hit the lines hard. The question for you guys, what impressed you most about the young quarterback? You're listening to The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.